Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. Thanksgiving travel underway for a lot of people. It created a huge traffic jam. We've got details about that. More violence against the police seems to be a trend, a pretty disturbing one. Have you ever heard of thunderstorm asthma? I never have, but it happened in Australia. It killed three people. We have details and the worst Black Friday sale ever. You won't believe what they're selling at a discount. Coming up this edition, Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm. Also, if you'd like to send an email, we appreciate those comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Fault, Grant Turgeon with you here today. And, you know, the real fireworks in this show happen off the air. We were just talking about the Thunder game last night. That's the real commentary, but
if only people could hear what's going on in the studio off the air.
Sometimes they have some shows have like the after show stream that keeps going where they discuss other events. So if you want to get our basketball insight, maybe we'll set that up for you. The Thunder didn't win; we lost to the Lakers. So for our listeners in Los Angeles, congratulations.
Exactly.
But it's just one game. Don't get too big for your britches. Although I will say. I think the Lakers look great. Young team, fresh team. I like the way they play.
Yeah, they're good, and they didn't even have D'Angelo Russell playing last night, so it's a pretty good win for them.
They got Luke Walton coaching them. Young Luke. I think he's actually a year or two younger than me. It's strange when people start to be younger than you, and they're like head coaches in the NBA.
Aren't there a couple of players in the league older than him, too?
I would think so, yeah.
I think so.
There's always a couple guys that hang on until they're almost 40, mm-hmm. you know, playing basketball. So, so that was interesting last night. Got some headlines to get to today, some serious stories, some funny stories, a pretty good mix of a lot of different topics. This is, of course, that bus accident we talked about yesterday, that terrible bus accident in Chattanooga. Well, they found out more about the driver, the Chattanooga school bus driver in fatal crash. He was involved in a collision 2 months ago. So this isn't the first time this guy's had a problem. The school bus driver charged in connection with a crash that killed five children in Tennessee on Monday was involved in a separate bus collision 2 months ago, according to ABC News. Jonathony Walker, 24, was driving a bus for Durham School Services, the same one, the same company, I guess, that had this fatal crash with. When he sideswiped an oncoming Kia Soul in September after crossing into oncoming traffic while attempting to negotiate a blind curve, according to the crash report. There were no injuries in that crash, according to the report, and the children were seated in the rear rows. So there were no charges filed. He had a citation for failure to yield. So a terrible situation no matter what. But then when you find out the driver has been in accidents with the bus before, if you're a parent right now of one of those kids, I don't know how you're feeling. Pretty upset.
And apparently he was known for speeding as well. I don't know by whom, but that's what I read as well. I read a headline that said that he was known around the area for speeding. Maybe residents noticed him flying past in the bus.
Yeah, that's just crazy. That happens sometimes where you look back and you see a lot of warning signs and you think, why didn't somebody do something about that? Why didn't they get a different bus driver?
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like there's a lot of people out there that could do that job just fine. And I'm not sure what it pays. I think it's actually not a bad paying job, mm-hmm. although you have to put up with the stress of driving around the kids. But just really unfortunate. Hate to see that come out where there was past problems and they didn't catch it. So now... now obviously he's lost his job, but people have lost their lives.
That kind of problem seems to come up a lot when a lot of trust is placed in residents to observe and report, basically. Even in terms of, like, you know, if you witness a crime, a lot of people are not going to say anything because they don't want to get involved. They don't want possibly the criminal to find out who told, you know, things like that. And here, who knows, but a lot of people probably wouldn't want to say anything. It's not really their business, they would think.
Yeah. Well, if he was known for speeding, right, like you said, I mean, you'd think somebody would have said something. Like, hey,
at least one person. Yeah. Or, you know, at least realize that there are people's lives on the line and do the right thing.
So bad situation there. It's going to be, of course, a sad Thanksgiving for quite a few people there involved in that. A lot of people are heading out of wherever they live, various towns, trying to get to a Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S. And the Telegraph says the world's worst traffic jam, Cars stuck in Thanksgiving getaway gridlock. ABC7 Eyewitness News in California captured incredible footage of what might just be the world's worst car jam in Southern California, bringing traffic to a crawl. If you've ever been in traffic out there, that's not uncommon, but this one was especially big. They say the news channel's helicopter captured the complete gridlock on the 405 motorway, one of the busiest and most congested routes in the United States. Dennis John DePew wrote, "It's called the 405 for a reason. It takes you 4 or 5 hours to get anywhere."
Brilliant.
So pretty good. Pretty good comment there. Another person wrote, "It's like the red and white blood cells flowing the major arteries of the city. Pretty, but I wouldn't want to be in it." It's pretty amazing footage if you look at it. I mean, it was backed up like crazy. Have you ever been out in that traffic?
Not really caught up in it. I've been in the area, but not at times where we would get stuck for a long time.
I've been, I've had some experiences out there where it was quite a bit of traffic, and I remember getting on to, I don't know what the highway was at the time, but coming onto the on-ramp, and we were stuck on the on-ramp. So you know it's going to be a long time if you're stuck on the on-ramp, and I think it took us, it probably took us 2 hours to go however far we were going, 20 miles or something.
Wow.
So I've been in that before. It's not a lot of fun. It's funny, though, because the things you see people doing that are in that traffic all the time and they're used to it. You have the crazy motorcycle people, and I call them crazy because they drive between the lanes very fast. And if you even opened your door or, you know, did something or even just put your arm out there, can you imagine? You know, that happened to me just a year or so ago. We were stuck in traffic out there, and a motorbike just buzzed right by the car, scared me half to death because, you know, I didn't expect it. But I thought, wow, what if I was... Not that you should ever litter, but what if I happen to roll my window down and chuck out a, you know, old hamburger or something? Kill the guy.
Exactly. And, like, at least that part, I'm not exactly sure if the motorcyclists are allowed to do that. Probably not. But the ones I really get angry about are the cars that drive on the shoulder of the road. They go flying past on the shoulder of the road, and they're clearly just cutting everybody else with no regard for the people who are waiting in line like they should.
Yeah. Yeah, that's frustrating. Then they try to worm their way back in. The other thing I saw that was really kind of strange, and I guess people do this, not recommended, people were just reading books. Of course, nowadays, I think it'd be more cell phones, but but this was years ago, I was remembering, and this guy's just reading a book, just sitting there driving, reading a book. I thought, well, I guess. I mean, you're not going that fast. But
it is almost at a standstill, so probably a lot of people who are really experienced with that type of traffic would get really creative with their commutes and try to find something extremely entertaining that they could at least occupy themselves with.
Try to make the most of it, yeah. If you're stuck in traffic. They say last year, thousands of cars were left stranded on a motorway in China in what was dubbed Carmageddon. So this one might be challenging Carmageddon. They say this year, AAA says 48.7 million people are expected to travel 50 miles or more for Thanksgiving. Yeah. So pretty good number of people traveling. I'm always... really happy that I don't have to drive in a lot of traffic. It's really a blessing to not have to have a 1 hour commute, 2 hour commute every day and sitting in traffic. And some people have to do that.
That is a really huge waste of time. We live right around the corner from where we work, and that's, you know, what is it, 5 total minutes going to and coming back every day, 10 minutes.
It's not bad at all. A lot of things here for people in central Oklahoma are pretty close. People live pretty close to what they do in most cases. And it's funny because it changes your perspective. You know, sometimes you'll hear somebody say, yeah, I want to go, but it's like 10 miles. But in most places, that's nothing. You know, I mean, I used to drive even back in Wisconsin, I used to drive probably 60 miles a day just going to school and working back home.
Wow.
Round trip, you know. That wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, that was just normal commute. Mm-hmm. But most people have a decent commute, and some people quite a long one, like out in Los Angeles area.
Right. Here it's 10 miles, and those 10 miles are in relatively light traffic as well. So we don't have too much of a reason to complain or be upset about that.
Yeah. So that is a special blessing that we do have. If you're listening to us in traffic right now, we apologize. but you could be happy for us. I suppose.
That's how you should respond.
Yeah. Yeah. We're testing you.
You better be happy.
You better be happy for us. This is a disturbing trend here. This is from the Daily Mail. Cops fear copycat attacks across the U.S. after a fifth officer shot in 3 days. This isn't even making top headlines anymore. It's kind of down at the bottom of the page, but this happened. A police officer has been shot near a university campus in downtown Detroit. The officer was named... let me see. This is written oddly. Anyway, he was with the campus's canine unit. His last name is Rose. He's in surgery after being shot in the head while on a solo patrol. The shooting took place near Wayne State University about 6:45 p.m. Detroit Police Department confirmed the officer worked at the university. Police released an image of D'Angelo Davis, who is a person of interest. It's the fifth incident in recent days where cops have been shot or shot at. And from what I can gather from these details, he wasn't doing anything other than just walking and was shot. So it does appear to be some sort of a targeted ambush.
Right. And imagine the amount of coverage this would get if it was the other way around, if it was the police officer shooting the guy who instead shot him.
Oh, right. Yeah, for sure. It would have a lot of coverage. But I saw a little blurb about this last night, and then today it was way down at the bottom, way fifth, sixth, seventh story. But yeah. So unfortunately, it's becoming more common, but a really disturbing trend of just the lawlessness. And where, like we talked about the other day, it's not just the criminal, the hardened criminal that's running away from trouble and he's trying to get away and he shoots. This is targeted and intentional, it appears.
Yeah, it does. And that's true. A lot of the time, if you're going to shoot a police officer, it's, I guess, out of absolute desperation where you think you'll get shot or you'll be put in prison for a long time. Now it's just, let's hunt them down because we hate them. And it has been nice to kind of see these anti-police lunatics out of the headlines recently. But the reality is those stories are still there. They're still going on all over the country. And why exactly is that happening? We need to look at why police are hated more than ever before.
Yeah, they're getting the idea from somewhere to go out and do these things. Friday this week is, of course, the big Black Friday shopping day that everyone loves, hates, is indifferent to somewhere in there. This is a bad idea, I think. Maybe it's a good idea. You be the judge. Half-price coffins. Dominican Funeral Home offers Black Friday bargains. It's giving Black Friday a new meaning, I guess. You can buy a coffin at half price. Local newspaper El Diario Libre reported that La Solución, or the Solution Funeral Home. The name of the funeral home is the Solution. That seems like a really bad idea.
That seems like a horrible idea.
What kind of a name
is
that?
The Solution.
The Solution? Okay. Well, interesting. That's a funeral home in El Cibo, about 85 miles east of Santo Domingo, and they're offering coffins and other funeral services at roughly half price, but this week only. You gotta get after it. So a couple of comments to this story from readers who have a good sense of humor, I think. This first comment, the person says, I gave my mother-in-law a casket for a present a few years ago. When she mentioned that I had not given her a gift last year, I reminded her that she has yet to use the previous gift.
What's the point of giving you a new one?
Why would I give you something else? You didn't use the other one I gave you. This other comment is, they say, I suppose there are those who are dying to save money. Ba-bump, bump. So, anyway, people have a good sense of humor with some of that. I don't know. I mean, in some ways, I guess, if you're thinking about buying something like that, hey, buy it, put it in the garage, but it just seems a little morbid.
It does. Yeah, the communists must be rejoicing at stories like this about opportunistic capitalism.
It's an interesting take on a Black Friday. I doubt they're going to be fighting each other to get into the store like you see for Jordans and other things and iPads. I don't think anyone's fighting to get into the coffin store, but the solution, funeral home, that seems it seems like a really poorly chosen name.
I'm guessing we're probably taking it differently than the way they thought of it.
Yeah, I think so. Wow. Some people on Thanksgiving like to go to restaurants as opposed to sitting around the house. And as a lot of times you have to find one of these 24-hour chain restaurants because everybody else is closed. This is America's best, or I guess you could say worst. It depends how you look at it. America's best 24-hour chain restaurants. We'll see what you think. And most of them open, of course, on the holidays. Number one, Waffle House.
Yes.
You've been to the Waffle House?
Love that place. In fact, the waitress there is named Princess Shay, and she knows my wife and I very well.
Wow.
My wife and me. She knows my wife and me very well.
She's a, that's her name, huh? Princess.
It's actually part of her name. It's not Shay. And even Shay is spelled, I can't even remember how it's spelled. It's not S-H-E-A, so it's a different S-H-A-Y-E, something like that. I don't know.
Well, if she's listening, maybe she gets you a freebie next time.
But she doesn't like me very much, but she loves my wife. And it's like they have a girl power thing going. And,
okay.
And then my wife blames everything on me. And then the waitress just loves it.
She likes it. Does it result in a discount of any kind?
No.
Okay.
See, I love her, though. She's great.
You got to try to work that in. That took a turn that I didn't expect.
Waffle House. early morning on the weekends.
Yeah.
For no reason. There's no reason to be up early on the weekends, but
Waffle House.
That's what we do, I guess.
Right there on I-35. and probably other locations as well. Number two, they say America's best 24-hour chain restaurants is Denny's. Very popular location. We used to, when I was working at a television station, we used to go for our breakfast / lunch break at like 8 a.m. because we worked a pretty early shift, and we'd all go to Denny's. And I think we confused everyone because everyone was ordering breakfast and we're getting cheeseburgers. But it was our lunch.
You've already been up for so long.
We've been up for a long time, so we were having lunch at breakfast. So it was confusing for everyone and our bodies.
Yeah, today, no one cares. It's like there's no rules when it comes to what types of meals you can have at different times of the day. But probably back then, everyone would be shocked.
It's all made out of the same ingredients anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to
difference me. Difference doesn't make. Two ingredients, sugar and fat. Number three, IHOP, they say, is America's best 24-hour chain restaurant. The third one is IHOP. I guess that's
IHOP and Denny's side by side in town.
Yeah. So,
and they're always both very full, it seems like. I'd give IHOP the slight advantage in terms of customers, amount of customers.
Yeah. You could put Waffle House, Denny's, and IHOP all in one building, and you could never have to leave. That's three meals a day there. Put in some sort of a yogurt place for dessert, and you're fine. Never have to leave. Paradise.
It is.
Have to roll you out of there. Number four, they say, I've never been to this one, Taco Cabana. Have you ever been there?
No. They have amazing commercials, though, so it looks pretty delicious.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a West Coast thing, more like.
I imagine they have a lot of different items.
Yeah.
But I just, the idea of tacos, you know, 24 hours a day, doesn't do it for me.
No, it depends on the time of day. There has to be some sort of rule book about when you can have different things.
You would think so. And finally, fifth, they say America's best 24-hour chain restaurant is Perkins. I think Perkins is considered a little more of like a sit down appropriate meal restaurant. I don't know, at least that's the impression I've had. I've been there a few times over the years, but those are the five best, they think. So if you aren't going to be eating Thanksgiving at home or at somebody's place, you can go to one of those. They'll be there.
So McDonald's didn't even make the list, huh?
No, they didn't make it. Even though, like, yeah, they're obviously a 24-hour chain. These are, I guess, would be considered a little more substantial, where you usually sit down and have different things. So of course this one's happening, this story. Donald Trump supporters are protesting Starbucks by buying Starbucks. Starbucks has figured it out. Love us, hate us, you're still gonna buy it. they've got the formula written down, and they're experts. Some Trump supporters are unhappy with Starbucks, and they're letting the company know by buying more Starbucks. If that sounds counterintuitive, they say, it's because it is. According to CNN, customers are asking baristas to write Trump's name on their cups as a form of protest. They feel that Starbucks hasn't been giving Trump their due because somebody, I think, wanted Trump's name written on the cup, and they wanted the barista to say Trump, and they wouldn't do it.
You yell out Trump when the order's
right.
ready.
So that's now there's a backlash. Well, this Twitter user posted the instructions for Operation hashtag Trump Cup. It sounds like a NASCAR race. The Trump Cup, which went viral with more than 6,500 retweets and 10,000 likes. So the idea is you're supposed to go in, order your beverage, tell them your name is Trump, to force them to write Trump on the cup and say, you know, grande latte for Trump. So that's the protest. And Starbucks is making money. They don't care. Some Trump supporters claim that they've been refused service while participating in Trump Cup. How can you be refused service? Oh, I won't serve you coffee. Yes, you will.
I did actually see a video of some social justice warrior who works at Starbucks, and he was taking someone's order, but then at the end, the guy said he wanted Trump on the cup, and he refused to take the order, and then finally called the police, which I don't see how that's going to go for him. It doesn't seem like the police would care.
Well, yeah, what's the barista called the police?
Yes.
So what would be the complaint?
I don't know.
I don't like this guy's attitude.
He's microaggressing me.
Come down here. Triggered. Arrest this man. He has a bad attitude.
It's not like you're asking them to yell out profanity. It's, right. It's the name of the president-elect.
It's a really strange situation, and it's just bizarre. Ultimately, according to Starbucks, the official rules, the rule book, they went back to the rule book in the way in the back. What's the rule book say? Baristas aren't required to write customers' names on cups or call them out when the order is ready. That was just something they did for fun, but they don't legally have to do it according to their bylaws.
I demand it.
We'll see. I sometimes people have asked my name, I guess, and called it out, but a lot of times they haven't. They just kind of put it up there and say, hey, here you go. And I'm usually watching anyway, so I go over there and grab it.
Right.
But a lot of people do like their name called out.
It's pretty funny when you come across the ones who, no matter how simple the name is, they'll misspell it.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're doing it on purpose. I don't know if they would do that, but it just seems like there's no way to misspell Grant, and yet it's happened a lot.
That is interesting.
I think they're trolling.
they're doing it on purpose. They've all got all the baristas in America at their annual meeting. There's this one guy we really don't like. Let's misspell his name. They talked to the lady down at Waffle House. She's like, I don't like that Grant guy.
I don't like him.
They're all in cahoots. They're in cahoots.
They must be. Like, I'm giving you my money. Calm down, people.
Yeah, you write my name. You spell it the right way. So that's one of those crazy stories that's happening. Protest upon protest. But Starbucks is still making money. They just got to be laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. I heard someone try to explain that I guess they're not technically intending to boycott. They would never want to change people's lifelong habits of going to Starbucks.
Right.
But they do want to kind of humiliate the baristas a little bit.
Very interesting. Key David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG, and on Thanksgiving Day we'll have some programs about that topic from Gettysburg, really good programs from a few years back, and those always really great to listen to again. So make sure you listen for that coming up tomorrow, and then of course some programs today as well. Those will come up. Check your schedule at kpcg.fm to see when the replays are. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England, today went over some of the history of Israel, including America, and its blessings, the blessings here in this country. Where did they come from? What have we done with them? Really interesting a sweep of history there, and some good perspective as we head into Thanksgiving Day. Make sure you listen for that program. And again, if you can't catch it live or a replay, you can always get the archives at kpcg.fm. Thanks for joining us today on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm with a live link at thetrumpet.com. You can follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm and send any comments or anything else to comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here, and our favorite Canadian, Abraham Blondeau, also stopping by. Do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
I celebrate two Thanksgivings, yes.
The Canadian one's earlier.
Correct.
Yeah. You didn't bring us anything for that.
Well, he didn't bring me anything either, so.
Well, we haven't had ours yet.
That's true.
You're just assuming we wouldn't bring you anything?
Well, Canadian Thanksgiving, it's not as big of a deal. As it's not as commercialized or anything. So usually all you do is just have a turkey dinner, and then they have Boxing Day sales, which is Monday after, because Thanksgiving's in Canada on a Sunday.
Yeah.
They have Boxing Day sales, and I think the main reason is just so we can have another football game. I think that's...
Yes.
At least nowadays, that's the main reason.
It is, I think. Have either of you guys ever heard of a thunderstorm asthma?
No.
Yeah, this is a real thing. Thunderstorm asthma, and I guess it's pretty serious. It killed 3 people in Australia. What is it? Well, it's really, I've never heard of it before. They say thunderstorm asthma occurs when a storm hits during a period of unusually high rye grass pollen. And they say when you have a perfect storm coming together of a very high pollen day, high humidity, and a thunderstorm, the grains of ryegrass absorb water with the humidity, and they break up into thousands of pieces. Normally with ryegrass, the pollen would be trapped by your nose hairs. That's why they're there. when it breaks up, it goes straight to the lungs, though, and the pollen irritates the lungs' bronchial tubes, causing them to become inflamed and filled with mucus, making it hard for people to breathe. So it's like this... The atmosphere has to be just right. The pollen levels have to be just right. This happened in Australia. Quite a few people, you know, calling for ambulances. Even people, I think, that don't even normally have asthma, they just can't breathe with this happening. And it actually killed 3 people because they couldn't get the ambulances out fast enough to everybody. So it actually killed a few people, just like healthy people, just out of the blue. This storm comes up and it kills people. I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, neither have I. That is... odd, but it is does show, I guess, when you have the perfect mixture of everything going on there, that we discover new things about how the Earth works.
You know, during the Dust Bowl in this area, they had what they called dust pneumonia that would kill people. They would, just because of inhaling all the dust and the things that came with it, it would cause problems, and then they would actually get pneumonia from it. So just there's interesting things that can happen. You know, you wouldn't normally think about it. I do know this is a very high... allergy area. Seems like even if people don't normally have allergies, good old central Oklahoma, you'll get them. They'll find you. I think it's probably because of the wind and just, I don't know, maybe there's more to it than that, but it's blowing all kinds of stuff around.
Yeah, all the pollen off the trees is blowing everywhere. So most people, if they have any sort of allergy, the springtime here, I believe, is their worst nightmare pretty much.
Yeah, I don't have it too bad, thankfully, or not
at all for
not
me.
That I know of, yeah. But some people get really itchy eyes and really... You ever get it, Abraham?
No, my wife does. She calls it allergy eyes, where her eyes just start crying and or watering up. And but I think in Oklahoma, the wind blows so fiercely, it doesn't matter if you have an allergy or not. You'll get hit by something that will irritate you.
Something's going to bother you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. So that's a weird thing there in Australia. This is an interesting write-up you've got for us, Abraham, from the IB Times. Clinton voters and Remainers, they say, are too gracious. Oh, please. In defeat, it's time to become bad losers. What are they talking about?
So this the title of the article took me back a little bit when I first saw it.
Yeah.
It's written by Alastair Campbell. He's a British journalist, and he worked under Tony Blair's government. So he's writing this from more from the perspective of the UK, but he's been around a while, and he's seen a few political elections. And the whole point of this article is he says that those who lost the elections, so the two unlikely victors to leave the UK and Donald Trump, those who lost those elections, they need to take a stand and make sure that those who won those elections from because of lies and pushing all these different myths on the people, that they're held accountable for that, and that more and more people need to speak up and just basically make their lives difficult until they give in to some of their demands.
That sounds like a really bad idea.
Yeah.
It sounds like being a really bad loser. That's a, but see, again, that flies in the face of what America's really been able to do for quite a few years, which is the peaceful transfer of power. And this just is playing into, I think, that spirit of lawlessness that we see, where people are going out and attacking police officers, or they, well, their candidate didn't get in, so they're going to riot and protest until they get their way. That's just lawlessness.
Yeah, exactly. And and what I don't understand is maybe this author hasn't seen the protests around the nation. I wouldn't exactly call them gracious, burning people's cars, destroying property.
Well, see, but the catch there is it says Clinton voters in the headline.
Oh, none of them voted. All the rioters didn't vote.
They didn't vote, so maybe that's why he's saying that.
Sure, that's a subtlety I did not notice. But he does, I think what's most interesting, like you mentioned, is that we see more and more intellectuals really stirring up those who are willing to take to the streets or who are willing to go to more extreme measures to do something. And just the language they use, making Donald Trump and Nigel Farage, in this case, look like basically evil dictators or people who manipulated the population into something they didn't want, and now all of a sudden people don't want Trump or Farage or the Brexit on the other side, and that's not true. People voted for what they wanted.
Well, it's interesting too. I saw another headline today where I don't know who it is, a group of people are trying to put pressure on Hillary Clinton to protest the vote and say that in three key swing states, there's some disparity in the way the machines counted it. And I don't know that there's any proof of that. They just looked at the way the votes went, and they saw some pattern they thought and said, oh, well, we need to protest this. They're having a hard time letting it go, and that's a real problem because, again, you end up having, what do you have? Protests at the very least. You can't get anything done. And at the very worst, you have violence, and that ties into the lead story on thetrumpet.com today, which is America's Coming Civil War by the Trumpet editor-in-chief, and Joe Fleury, and it says, but the byline says, but Americans don't know why it is coming. That is coming, and that's what's talked about a lot in the Bible, and you see this push from the media to get it going.
Yeah, exactly. I think this article is a great example of the embers that are being fanned to start this fire in America. And it's mainly being fanned by those on the left who refuse to believe that they've been defeated and to refuse to accept that the 8 years of radical change under President Obama is now under threat to leadership of Donald Trump. And who knows if it even is. We don't even know what Trump's really going to do yet. And that's very dangerous, because as soon as you start calling into question democracy and you start contesting the election, I mean, if there's something sinister, you should question it. But just to do it on myths, lies, or just because you don't like the result, that gets becoming dangerous, because then people will justify lawless behavior because of those different stories being pushed by the media.
Right, and I mean, they're kind of coming at this from the assumption that they can act out and become these bad losers, as they say, and the other 50%+ of people that don't feel that way are just going to sit there and take it. What if they don't take it?
Right.
Now you got a problem on your hands. And I think they've been kind of going along for quite some time in the left, in the media, and with, say, activists, thinking they can just act out and no one's going to care, but I think the election, the vote for Brexit and the vote for Donald Trump shows that a lot of people actually do care and don't agree with their stance on things, and they can't accept that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're seeing, and that's, I think Winston Churchill, I believe, said a liberal is someone who can't just comprehend that you disagree with them. That's a common tendency of liberalism. But what's more is, like you mentioned, the danger of this is the pushback from those who don't agree with this, both bad losers.
did you hear our earlier? We were talking about the Trump Cup protests.
Yes.
Starbucks.
Yeah.
That's a funny one. We laugh at that because it's a silly, ridiculous thing. But it does show on the serious side the differing attitudes. And if you've got people that are so petty, I guess, that, I'm not going to say his name. I'm going to make you write it on the cup. that could escalate pretty quickly into something more serious. Not that those exact little moments will, but I mean the overall trend. You know, it's just the pettiness, the bitterness, the anger. It's on display in silly things and then in some real serious things too.
Yeah, well, I mean, all violence starts from something very small. Usually, and it just builds and builds until it reaches a breaking point. And that's what's most dangerous about America today is people seem to be complacent and okay with living with a nation that is just so divided and with allowing people to resort to violence on so many issues. And that's not even Donald Trump's fault. We've seen that a lot in the past 8 years under President Obama and just even the encouragement of it. And so that's the danger, is people becoming complacent to that. And then when it does erupt, people are left with extreme circumstances. What are they going to do? And most of them are going to push back against such things.
Well, we've seen, well, for a long time, but especially in the last 8 years, we've seen lawlessness from the highest levels. And so, you know, what do they expect the citizenry to do if they can just see lawlessness and it's encouraged in the media by the actions or inactions of politicians? Why would people be any different? That's when you really start having problems. Lawlessness spreads. You know, you can't contain it and say, well, I'm going to be lawless, but you all follow the law around here. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing, I guess one of the biggest problems I have with this article as well is that they make President Obama look like he has done no wrong. And that...
Did he write it? No, I'm kidding.
He ghost wrote it.
Ben Rhodes wrote it.
Yeah.
All roads lead to Ben.
Well, just for one example, because he's writing from the UK perspective, he calls in the question Theresa May, confirming that Trump talked about having the commitment to the special relationship because he contacted her 11 leaders later. So she was the 11th leader that he contacted. She wasn't the first. But then he implies that President Obama put Britain first, that President Obama really nourished this special relationship.
Right.
And it's the exact opposite. So to criticize Donald Trump for something that the left hates, that the left hates that special relationship, and to criticize Trump for even following in that footstep is just a little odd to me as well.
Well, he infamously sent back the Churchill bust, which was a slap in the face. And then denied it, and then, we did, and made up a story about it. And then the back of the queue comment, that if you leave Europe, you're in the back of the queue, you know, all those things. And to come back and say, well, no, he's been a great champion of our relationship. Dream world. Just living in a dream world. You might as well just write a story about the Smurfs.
Right.
It's the same thing. Put that on the front page there.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what we're seeing. I mean, both sides have fault. I'm not saying that one side is the moral high ground here, but
the thing though is that the left has the media.
Yeah.
That they're the ones broadcasting the loudest. You can find, I mean, you do find more conservative sites, but for the most part, it's liberal. It's liberal and not conservative. And they're the ones that are beating the drum right now to get people to cause trouble. So I think there is a certain special responsibility that they do have.
They don't think Mr. Obama, the current president of the United States, should even have to say a thing about the rioters. I haven't seen a single liberal television network urge Mr. Obama to say anything. Why not? He's in charge of the country. A lot of those people idolize him, so why not say something?
If it was flipped, you know the media would be going crazy. If it was a conservative sitting president right now, a liberal coming in, and the conservative people were protesting and rioting, you know, the media would be all over the current president to say, well, you got to put an end to this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the great divide with the liberals and their media mouthpiece and then all the people on the ground. And that's what we saw in Brexit, and that's what we see here with this election. It's split about half and half, but those are very big divides.
Yeah, I think the media has, if not consciously accepted, they've embraced the idea of being the echo chamber of the radical left in America.
Brexit was pretty close, wasn't it?
Yes, it was about 52% to 48%.
Yeah,
so it was about the same. It was as close as you can get in a referendum. So, and it was really the voting demographics were split very similarly to America as well on who in Britain voted to leave and who voted to stay. So these two elections, I think, reveal a lot about the political nature of both countries, but also that the future doesn't look great at all. And the future, as Mr. Gerald Flory points out, the future is leading towards violence unless some drastic changes and course corrections are made in the next few months, because you just can't end violence by a flick of your wrist. It takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time to heal wounds. And that's not happening at all. It's just intensifying. And so it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better.
Yeah. With America's Civil War, I mean, I guess if you'd say the healing of the coming together came from the top and it filtered down with President Lincoln. But now we see division just coming from the top. And so it's a really good write-up, the top story at thetrumpet.com, America's Coming Civil War. Make sure you do read that. And I don't think that should be a shock to anybody. I mean, I don't think anybody really thinks it's going to happen. You know, like, oh, that won't really happen. But, you know, you can see the seeds of it definitely growing. So make sure you check that article out. One of the big hotly contested issues, and it's going to continue to be hotly contested, is immigration, illegal immigration. And Grant, you have this really strange story. Again, it says Denver's Sheriff's Department is fined $10,000 for hiring only U.S. citizens. We're talking law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And they got fined for only hiring U.S. citizens.
Right. It did strike me as a little bit odd, but I guess it is technically in keeping with current federal law. Last year, the Denver Sheriff's Department tried to set out to hire scores of deputies, and by this spring, they had actually hired about 200, but you can guess the Justice Department did not give them any congratulations for this. They slapped them with a $10,000 fine for not considering people with work permits or people who are in the country lawfully, like green card holders.
Okay, so at least they're not talking about just people that are
right.
Breaking the law. So it's a little, maybe not quite as bad as the headline makes it seem. Mm-hmm. However, at the same time, when you start meddling with people's hiring practices, you know, it's like how much can the federal government get in there? I mean, what if your most qualified people happen to be citizens? Isn't that okay?
Yeah, it does raise some concerns, even though technically the Justice Department isn't advocating hiring illegals into the police force. What about the fact that you would hope that the people enforcing the law in your country are totally in favor of the law, or they're totally devoted to upholding the law? You know, if the practice in Russia is to arrest someone for putting out a newspaper that disagrees with the current president, and a person from there comes here and thinks something like that is better than our system where we allow free speech, is it okay that maybe he has different ideals, something like that? There are analogies where, you know, maybe if I went over there, well, should I start arresting people for trying to uphold free speech over there? It just wouldn't make much sense if I had different priorities because I came from a nation that I still consider better than America.
Yeah, it's interesting. So did they have to, besides just paying the fine, were they forced to hire somebody that wasn't a U.S. citizen, or was it just, hey, you didn't do it, here's the fine?
Well, they were actually forced to go back and look at all the people they denied who do have green cards or who just have work permits, and they had to reconsider those people and see that if any openings come up in the future, possibly some of those people could then get hired.
That's interesting. Unless lest people think we are heartless here, Abraham, you're still working on your citizenship, aren't you?
Work permit.
Yeah. So I mean, that's great, and it's good to see that people come in legally and doing some good things and helping out. A little different when it's law enforcement, maybe. I don't know. It seems a little different, but nevertheless, I think the bigger issue probably is just when they start meddling with who you can hire, who you can't. And that happens at a lot of places there, or even colleges with admissions, and they're trying to make everything fair, but in trying to make everything fair, you make everything unfair. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. It, I mean, being Canadian living in America, just and not a citizen, I wouldn't consider working for a U.S. law enforcement since I'm not a U.S. citizen. To me, that's just not, doesn't make any logical sense.
Doesn't seem right.
Just to me. Yeah. I mean, other people have.
And you are part of the Mountie.
Yes. Every Canadian's a Mountie at heart, I believe.
By birth. Yeah. By birthright, yeah.
But I think the most interesting part of that story is we're seeing federal regulation just start creeping into law enforcement more and more. And that's concerning because if they can get more control and just in hiring practices, how many more regulations can they push and what else are they going to be able to regulate?
You know, I remember a very particular situation, specific situation from my work experience years ago, working with a gentleman who was, I don't know exactly how he got hired or why he was there, but it was definitely, they were trying to keep lots of different nationalities on board. I'll just put it that way. So he was a minority and nice guy, and you know, enjoyed talking to him. He had some problems at work though, and he was hired to go out. Well, he got kind of a promotion, I guess, to be a photog with the news. So he'd go out with the reporter. He would drive, and you'd film the story, come back and edit it. Well, he had a temper problem, and he got mad one day, and he got back and he took the camera and he threw it across the room, and he broke it. And back that time, I mean, that was probably a $10,000-$15,000 camera, which was more money than it is today. And even today, that's a lot. Most people would be fired for that. They told him, well, why don't you go to anger management and see if we can work this out? And I mean, I think we all knew why that was done, because they were afraid of a lawsuit. And so occasionally you'll see things like that and you say, well, is that right though? Is that right? Can you do that? Can you get a free pass all the time just because we're trying to keep things quote unquote fair everywhere? Has nothing to do with the nationality, the gender of the person, nothing to do with that. It's just that particular individual had a problem that probably should have cost him his job. But they didn't want to get rid of that person. The reason of just keeping it fair and across the board, as they would see it, and not getting in trouble or not getting sued and that type of thing. So that's one of the fruits that comes out of some of these federal regulations.
Right, and it seems like someone like that should be almost offended that he's getting treated differently from everyone else. Isn't that what's continuing to bring up race in that instance?
Yeah.
When we continually treat certain people differently, that's a form of racism. Even when we think we're being nicer to certain races, it automatically means we're not being as nice to others.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for all of us that work there, we didn't care anything about where the person, you know, they're like, again, their race or their gender or anything. It's just like, this guy doesn't do a good job here. Bring somebody else in. Mm-hmm. We don't care, but it just sent the wrong signal to everybody, because everybody knew, oh, okay, it's not an even playing field. Mm-hmm. In the effort to even it all out in their minds, they made it uneven.
Exactly. And that is a pretty big problem here. And critics have even said that local, state, and federal levels routinely make citizenship a requirement for being in law enforcement. So it's almost like the Justice Department chose one group to make an example out of or something like that, because it's almost like everyone does it. I never thought that a non-citizen could be a police officer. This is completely new to me, and probably to most people who take comfort in the fact that the police officers are going to be proud citizens of the country.
Yeah, they're getting I tell you what, the police are under attack, aren't they? Whether it's through regulations or through just actual physical attack. I mean, that ties into that lead story today on thetrumpet.com about America's coming civil war. I mean, look at the storm and how it's building from all these different directions. The police are being undermined. Rioting and protesting is being encouraged. The validity of elections and politicians is being questioned constantly, every single day. Where does that end? Utopia? All of us holding hands and having picnics? No. It ends badly, very badly.
Yeah, exactly. It's you can't cause division and create unity. That goes against the laws of nature. If you cut a piece of bread in half, you're not going to have one whole piece again. Unless you have a new piece. Like,
we're also learning about fractions.
That's right. Yeah, and bread. In Canada, for a long time, we've had, in part of federal regulations, quotas of different races that need to be included in a workforce in different companies. And where I used to work, my family member applied to work there, and he had to take this test. It's just like a basic test, multiple choice to see if you qualify to work there. He didn't pass the test, and it was kind of an odd situation. It didn't pass. And then the next week, I noticed they hired about five or six people who couldn't even speak English.
Right.
And somehow they passed the hiring test, quote unquote. So to me, it's ridiculous because they do circumvent their own laws to keep that one regulation. Like they circumvent that people can even understand English and read the language that people need to be helped with just to keep their reputation high in like to the federal government who regulates that sort of thing.
And then what do you see in a lot of cases? Well, companies suffering. You know, you're not gonna be as productive if you don't have people there that are gonna do the job well. And so it's just constantly we see all these constant imposed restraints on the U.S. and some other nations, Canada, the U.K. too, I'm sure. Where in trying to be on some sort of moral high ground, we keep holding ourselves back from just doing a good job. And then you have other nations that are just plowing ahead, like China. They don't worry about that. They just get the job done, and they're doing it. And so we're being held back. We're holding ourselves back in a lot of ways for a lot of reasons. And these other nations are just pushing ahead.
Yeah, this federal law, apparently the Justice Department did act within the law here, but it is a burden on police departments because if you even think about the fact that the ones who are on work permits, those expire. And so you have to make a long-term investment in training and paying for the equipment and, you know, all of the different things that a police officer would require only for that person to not even be eligible to work in this country legally in a year or so. Why would you do that instead of, you know, putting in the long-term investment for someone who's actually going to be there long-term?
Yeah, and especially if you teach this person all kinds of things that are probably pretty sensitive as far as law enforcement, guns, weapons, and so forth. You know, it just kind of even reminds me, I guess, somewhat of, say, a different story, but just what we've done, like, say, in Afghanistan, where we train all the people there how to fight and use the weapons. Give them the weapons, they turn around and kill the U.S. service people. Not that that would happen in these cases, but it's just you can't just you have to be very careful on who you're training, who you're using, because it can come back on you.
It is even a reality here because this one man said we're handing over a gun and a badge to somebody whose background we don't really know a lot about. That's always going to be true of someone who only needs to show a green card to be able to work. There was a story even yesterday, the federal government lost 19,000 green cards. And so if you look anything like the person on the green card, you could just grab one of those and show up and say that you're legal when you're not. Wow. I mean, that just happened yesterday. 19,000 green cards got lost. They could be anywhere. Anyone could have picked them up by now.
So they were going to mail them out or whatever to people,
They just got lost in transition somehow. And whoever found those is a pretty happy person, especially if they're thinking about breaking the law.
Yeah.
Oh, surely.
It's not so easy to fake citizenship.
Right.
Yeah. Surely one of them looks like me.
Exactly. You can go find one.
You can sort through and find one that'll look pretty much like you. The pictures on those things are not too clear either from the ones I've seen.
They should they should change it to where they do like an artist's interpretation. like our logo. Just somebody drew our
character
picture.
Drawing.
Yeah, character.
Just for your identification.
They look roughly like this. Yeah, really interesting story there. That's you can read more about that. Denver Sheriff's Department fined $10,000 for hiring only U.S. citizens. So it's interesting to look into that because the headline, I was like, at first I didn't, you know, you thought, well, they're hiring people that are illegals, but that's not the case. Although it still is kind of a big issue.
Yeah, and it seems like the connotation is if you can somehow get a green card, I mean, that's all it would take to show up and be able to work for one of these places. We were seeing it's not that hard if they're going to fumble away 19,000 cards just yesterday.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that's a really tough job to have now for anybody. So I wonder how many people really even want those jobs, because it's getting more difficult for the police in this country. Those are some of the things going on today, and lots of interesting stories there to talk about. More coming up here in just a little bit. We have the Key of David program, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show is coming up. Also, the Trumpet Hour program, make sure you listen for that as well. And we appreciate you being with us today. Make sure that you have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. Hopefully don't get stuck in traffic out in Los Angeles or anywhere. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.